What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords. What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords, and I'm Merlin. On tonight's episode, we have the duo Living Roots sharing their story with us. So why don't you tell us, who are the Living Roots?
All right, what's up, everybody? So, everyone, yeah, this is Travis, and I am here. This is me. we actually just got married, so we're kind of new to the home. This is my wife. This is my wife.
Oh!
Yeah, super cute, super loving, but... yeah, wow. Who are the Living Roots? Gosh, I mean, I think our name really plays into a lot of the energy that we bring into all realms of what we do, which is just like deep cultivation, you know, really kind of bringing the life and like the blooming energy into what we do, and just keeping it breezy, you know, keeping it really down to earth, keeping it really level with what we all know, which is, you know, rhythms and those kind of like traditional sounds that we bring into everything. And we also own a farm together, so that's like the roots are everything for our life. So I think the Living Roots is just kind of a representation of that in a sense.
So yeah,
elaborate.
Yeah, I came up with the name when I was planting some beets on a farm that we worked on like 8 years ago, and just these real long, beautiful roots, and the music that I was making at the time and still make now incorporates a lot of kind of ancestral sounds as well as new futuristic stuff. But a big intention of our music is to, you know, tap in with the ancestral rhythms and sounds that are such a part of our DNA and just part of the human experience.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a big part of it is just being connected with the earth and the land and letting the vibrations come out in the music.
Very cool. I mean, before we get started and talk more about your music and where you guys are right now, like, how did you guys even get started on your path? Because I saw like you were, I don't want to say you were in theatrics, but you got like Shakespeare festivals in Australia behind you, Travis. And then Logan, with you have some musical history with soul, like I think it was Motown, Enya, Whitney Houston. So you guys have like the music side of you, but like what brought that out of you?
I mean, well, okay. So, I mean, I definitely, music was like a real integral part of my growing up. I was always in choirs. I was always doing that. But both my parents were pretty like musically inclined. My mom, not so much as like a creation level, but just like always did music playing in the house. A lot of what you mentioned, Whitney, you know, lots of Enya, lots of just, you know, just different vibes from all over. My dad was a drummer, so lots of like beat making and things like that, and yeah, so that just kind of carried through with a little instruction. But Traps is the one that actually started the project and like really went hard on creating music to put out. I had been in some bands and some small projects in college, but that was really the motivation to commit was from him.
Thank you, and you're welcome. It's been a while. It's an amazing time creating with her, and we have just such unique flavors that we can put together, and it just, when we're tapped in and in the flow, like it just comes so seamlessly and really, really easeful. And yeah, being in the studio together is some of the most fun we ever have, and then being on stage is like the best part of all of it. I can finally really and share with hundreds of people and just have that collaborative experience.
No, I mean, Travis, oh yeah, I was just gonna ask you, like with you like being in Australia, making your own first instrument, I mean, unless I read that wrong, but like you seem to like, was it like after you're making your first instrument or seeing like the theatrics around you and then slowly diving into it?
I really started making music in high school with my homies, just doing like hip hop stuff. She's laughing because those early tracks are.
You gotta start somewhere.
You're going to save somewhere. Yeah, we just, you know, would smoke weed and make hip hop all day long after school. And shout out Sugar Beats, Ananda, and Luke. We all started together. And after that, in college, I was just kind of playing around with Ableton. Didn't really have any instruments that I was playing at the time, and really loved didgeridoo. And so when I went to Australia, that was like one of my intentions, was to learn how to play and make my own and just, you know, understand that instrument more. And after that, I started incorporating different, you know, flutes and drums. I played kalimba, talked to drum my whole life. Like as a child, I just had those around and I was just, I'm really naturally good. And have zero musical training, no background, just, you know, me and the music finding our way together on this path. And yeah, that's kind of been the arc. And yeah, I'm just grateful that she can put music to words the way she does and like use her voice the way she does as an instrument, because there's just such an amazing power when the human voice comes through and can express in that way. Being able to capture it isn't easy, but when you can get the right vibe, it's like just pure gold. So we've been meshing well together for a while now.
You guys are cute. Well, I mean, I guess you guys blend well together. Like you have the vocals, Logan, and then with all the instruments, that knowledge of instruments that you know, Travis. Not saying that you don't, Logan. I saw that you know how to play instruments on your own. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus or anything. But okay. But I mean, like, what made you guys go in this different direction with music? Like, you see people going into hip hop, you see people going to country. Like, you kind of, you called it Livetronica in listening to your music. Like, it's very laid back, it's very mellow, like, it's easy to listen to. And I do see what you're saying, but I want to know, like, why did you choose creating this type of beats?
It chose LSC. We talked about doing some different, maybe more of R&B style stuff here and there. A big part of our life is plant medicine and indigenous ceremonies and like healing songs and healing medicine music is the majority of what I focus on. Myself, I listen to everything, but what I make and what comes out of me is just kind of like a reflection of, yeah, my passion for exploring consciousness, tapping into heart, tapping into different chakras, and using music as like a movement modality to move energy in different places and just like really healing. But also, like, I love seeing what can happen on the dance floor. So, like, most of the music that I'm making currently is pretty upbeat, danceable. Like, a lot of people would be, like, rolling around, like, rolling around on the floor and just messing themselves however they feel the music is telling them to.
Yeah.
At some point, we are going to start doing more down-tempo, like, super down-tempo, like, yoga and meditation tracks where it'd be just, like, one flute, basically, or, like, so a simple drum beat and some chanting. So
to kind of want to piggyback off of some of what you're saying, yeah. To like kind of hone in on that live trauma element as well. Like, I think we both have always been really moved by seeing a performer before, like having that presence, watching that magic happen live is something so special. And I think we both have really connected to that, our own and together. Like, we met at a Dirt Wire show, which is really, well, we connected at a Dirt Wire show, but anyways. But I think that, you know, seeing people like be in their zone and make their art and watch that magic happen is so powerful that we really just wanted to stick with that and create a performance that is more than pushing buttons and dancing, you know, which is fine. And I'm not talking about it in any negative way. I'm just saying that, you know, for us, and what he's saying with like that ceremonial aspect and that like presence of power, it's so much different when you're in it and you're there and you're watching what happens than when you're just kind of being, you know, passively sharing what you did before. So we do have some of those elements, but then I think, you know, while traveling the world and doing those different things, like seeing the way that people play their instruments, and how much more connected you get to that sound. And then hearing it later, and you're like, oh, that was all right, but man, that was fire at the moment. You know, it's like, it's that energy is what we try to bring to every show. And that way we can, you know, really showcase all of what he's doing, because with the way that sound is happening these days, the way that music is played these days, like, you're hearing so much, and it's hard to understand what is, like, how many instruments are actually happening.
Right.
But then you look over at him, and he's, like, surrounded by all of these instruments, and he's playing each one, and it's just like, holy crap, like, this thing is, like, literally holding an inch. And then a melodica, and then switching to the kalimba, like, it's just so much more enchanting.
Like, how many arms do you have, my guy? No, just kidding.
Seriously,
I'm like an octopus.
I feel crazy when we play live. Like, there's things that happen that I can't explain. Like, time is a different reality. It's just, it's unexplainable. And that's why we love playing live so much. I DJ sometimes, but it's so much more fun to be playing didgeridoo and, like, feeling the subs under my feet going with the rhythm that I'm playing. And then I see people, like, laying through the subs, just getting, like, a didge fat. And it's so magical.
That sounds magical. Like, I don't know why I feel like it reminds me of the movie Soul, where, like, he's kind of just, like, testing it out. But, like, your soul's kind of experiencing music in its own way, in its own form. And I mean, I do understand, like, what you're talking about with live performances, because I absolutely love going to live performances. Like, I'll listen to music, but, like, remembering a certain concert, like remembering a Kehlani concert, I'm just like, oh man, the way she's saying that song and that certain part, like, it hits you different, or like their energy on the stage. And like, you guys just doing that by yourselves, mostly, like, with you and Travis blending vocals and instruments, like when you were touching on like yoga and like the different beats that you can make, it kind of made me think of the frequencies on the spiritual side and how there's like different hertz. Now, would you say it's kind of like a spiritual music, or are you taking that kind of concept where you can help people relax?
I think we definitely have certain things to cater to different vibes. Okay. So yes, I think fundamentally our music is rooted in spirit, and like all of our lyrics are very conscious. Even in some of our more like upbeat Buddha Shaken songs, it's definitely still like very much about grounding and like, you know, the power that we all have, you know, like you type thing. not copyrighted. Perhaps you saw it, you just saw it happen live. But
let's go.
No, but I mean, most of what we do, I mean, like our first couple albums are definitely very much more just like sacred relaxation, much more like down tempo, really just kind of like honing into the vibe. And now, you know, as everything does, we're kind of going through an evolution of like, you know, just experimenting and what directions we can go. And we've just recently been pulled into like a little bit higher BPMs and just trying to kind of feel that, but still keeping it really grounded. But I mean, we've had incredible collabs and different things. Like, just some of the people that we bring in just like really lock in that vibe as well. So I'd say pretty much all of our music is grounded in spirit, but it really just depends. Like, yeah, certain songs are really situated for certain situations, I think, much better.
Yeah, so like, you know, we have enough songs in different vibes where we could do an hour-long set that's just full dance floor bangers, or do an hour-long set that's like sunrise set. People are fixing the morning with suns rising, you know, we just want to like tap in some nice, slow, long movement. Just vibey stuff. And that's kind of like the two directions that we've been going. We'll see what happens. I think the next thing we incorporate will be more like live performance dancing, and just like having a couple other actual performers doing different like ritualistic dance during our set. And so that's once we can up our budget a little bit more for the getting booked shows, then we'll be able to pay for performers to do the movement stuff on stage. So
that's very cool. And I mean, I love that you're talking about like different places, different cultures, and like how to like incorporate that with your live performances, because it's just like music isn't just like international, it's like universal. Like it's something that we all feel and we all understand, even if we don't speak the same language. And the reason why I'm saying that right now is just because linking it back to my last question, I remember like seeing how the Uthre Mi framework was kind of flipped around and switched into the Do Re Mi. So it's basically like, even though it's just a musical framework and then you have the spiritual side framework, like they all still are the same. So you saying that they're dance beats, but they're also like slow groundbreaking, like grounding music that you can just relax to. That's why I thought of it, because it's just like no matter what style, the scales but also the frequencies are still the same in a way, would you say?
Yeah, just kind of like the overall. No, I mean, you can have a solo in any BPM or key, and really it's about the intention that's going into the song and the intention that's coming out of the song. And it's something that you can't really explain with any kind of like measurement system. It's just the feeling that you get when you listen to it. Like I've listened to some crazy high BPM, really, really intense music that just felt so at peace, you know? And then I've listened to some really slow stuff that's made me super anxious.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the new EP that we're working on right now, where singing with individual plants. It's going to be called Plant for the Same EP, Volume 1, and we'll be doing Volume 2, Volume 3, Volume 4. And what we're doing, we're singing with, for instance, we have like Beige is one song, so they will burn some sage, let it into the studio, like kind of listen to what it's wanting, and then make our song off of that. So we've done sage, sweetgrass, cedar, Santa Maria, and the Clubwort is going to be the last one on this first EP. And that's been just so much fun. Like, it's been the most fun we've had creating music. And incorporating like a third plant allies feature to be with us in the studio, and it's like they will talk to you if you're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been really fun. Santa Maria has been a little sneaky. She's
the silly one.
She's the silly one.
That's how the plant is. Sage was very, very grounded. Peter was also very easy to work with, and sweetgrass just came like instantly. I'm a little bit nervous about my work, because that one's also pretty wonky. So.
Well, when you're saying that, it kind of just reminded me of this concept where, like, I don't really know how it works, but it's just like they plug in these wires to their beat maker, like into a tree. I saw a video of a tree and he just plugged it in, and all of a sudden it was just making these like sounds from a tree, or like in different mushrooms he like plugged it in, and I was just like, wait a second, is that even possible, or is this like a similar concept?
It's all vibrations, right?
Yeah,
but what we're picking up on is like a different dimension of conversation rather than like something that can physically attuned in it through electronics. But I love that idea, and I think I've wanted to try one of those, and maybe I think on the next EP we'll do this, we'll plug it into the different plants and see what they say. It's pretty, it's like a lot of this stuff is very like, I don't know how you turn that into music or sample that in. It's like pretty non-human. It's on a totally different level, so like what we're catching is more of like the spirit of the plant, and it's kind of it's like energetic language more so than like the vibrations.
Huh. No, I mean, not to say like your music sounds the same at all, but it just gave me that thought, because it's just like, what, I guess we're so used to the idea of like you create music with your voice or instruments. And just seeing that video, hearing you guys talk about like the things that you're going to use in your upcoming EP, like it's just kind of like opening a new door of not only new sounds, but ways to create. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people too like really connect with, especially Santa Maria, like a lot of people, you know, smoke a little bit to like get into the vibe for whatever creative space they're doing or to relax a little bit. So I think that conversation is one that most people are most familiar with, you know, because that's a conversation most people have, probably most people watching this podcast right now will completely understand, you know, like, oh yeah, that's saying something to me that makes me feel different. I can like hear that message with that's like whatever it is that it gives to you. And so we're just doing that but with more plants and just trying to have more of that conversation with different types, and instead of us being like, okay, this makes me feel this way, it's like, what is the plant really trying to put out?
Now when you say it like that, are you also trying to say like, how is this plant gonna make me feel? Or is it just like, what is the plant going to put out?
I think it's a little bit of both, but it's also just like really what the vibe, like almost acting more as a channel, I guess is a better way to say it. And I don't want to get like too woo woo, but like, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship. Like it can have, like we're here too.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think it's much more just like what is just like coming forward when this thing is present.
That's very cool. That's very, sorry for like all these questions. It's just like, I find it so interesting, especially like the whole, to me, it's a new concept. So like the fact that it's new to me, it's more exciting to me and the more curious I am about it. So I hope I'm not like interrogating you right now.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too.
Like all the producers
that
I've talked to them about it, like, dude, that's such an awesome idea. Just like really connecting to have big plants. It could be crystals. It could be anything that you connect with, just really like listening to it and letting it tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love so much about art. It's like, you know, there's only so many notes that can be played, but it's what happens in between the notes that make songs. Like, you could write a million songs in C sharp or C major. Mm-hmm. And there have been millions of songs written in C major, but they're all different. They all have a different vibe. Like, as we move forward in our consciousness, the human collective consciousness, the music's just going to evolve with it. And especially with technology too, like with these DAW controllers that can plug into a mushroom, like... That is the tip of the iceberg. Like, we're going to see some amazing stuff over the next 50 years with AI integration. Like, I just love art because it never ends. It's just the constant exponential outward spiral of this unlimited creativity. And it's amazing.
I mean, you guys started back in 2017. So you've been on this journey for quite a while, experimenting with new, maybe bringing in the old, just finding like a good blend throughout this whole way. But like, what was the hardest part for you as musicians, as a duo, before you guys became a couple?
We actually started dating, and then I was like, let's make a song. So that's kind of how that started. Honestly, our biggest hurdle, like, I think that's the hardest thing to overcome, is just finding the time to be in a studio. Like, we're not full-time musicians. We're full-time farmers. We just work, like, stupid amount of time working on our farm that we also love, but it's a completely different
vibe. Yeah. Keyword.
It's a grind, you know? Like, I'd say 80% of my time is spent farming. Probably like 95% of your time is spent farming to music, like 95% to 5% music. And then, you know, we have some time for ourselves to go be non farmers or musicians, hang out with them, still get married, you know, occasional marriage.
No big deal or anything. Right.
But yeah, it was just fun. That's been a big mantra for me over the last couple of years. It's just hoping to find more people to collaborate with on our farming projects, like a couple of young, motivated people that really want to get into farming. so that we can both spend more time touring and just creating music. So hopefully that soon, like, cross my fingers.
Hopefully soon. I mean, this whole concept, the whole idea of it is just so exciting to me. And again, I am a newbie, but I am so intrigued, and I feel like I could just keep on asking you questions, but I don't want to like take all your time. So we're not going to do that. But I'd be like, just looking on your Spotify, like you have like a community already with you. Spotify kind of like suggested me it's more of Lifetronic reggae or Raytronica. I forgot how they called it. So like there's like genres that they're like blending in to get your fan base like higher. Now, have you ever thought of doing something a little bit different, or are you still sticking with the sound that you have now?
So yeah, the whole Spotify algorithm thing is ridiculous. Like, the only reason it says reggae is because our most popular, they're the song that's most played on another playlist, which is our reggae playlist. So now we get tapped in with a lot of reggae things.
Reggae.
Okay, there we go.
Enough listeners consistently on Spotify. We need to like really get our algorithm keying to the right other like suggested artists and stuff. It kind of fluctuates. Sometimes it's really spot on, and sometimes it's just like off. There is also a different band called Living Roots that was just pure reggae, now in the 90s. And so just that algorithm, like our stuff got mixed up. Like their releases were on our Spotify for a little bit, and vice versa. So,
right.
However, if you're listening, we definitely do, and often think about kind of how we want to evolve and what we kind of want to move into, which is why we sort of started doing a little bit more. Like, I've been really pushing to add like a little bit more funk, a little bit more soul, a little bit more this and that. So we definitely have some more hot tracks coming out that are with some different vibes, but still very much Living Roots. So, you know, and I think we're seeing that. I don't think we're ever, hey, I'm not going to say never, because you just never know. But yeah. You know, I don't really see us doing like side projects of like, you know, like, oh, this is our fans page, this is our, you know,
yeah,
if I got trans, but you know, we'll see how we evolve and what kind of what comes out. But we definitely are wanting to just kind of explore. I mean, that's where art is, you know, it's always changing. So we're kind of doing that exploration, but sort of kind of what you said, like we just don't have that much time right now to be sort of creating. And so when we do create, we're kind of still sort of, we definitely have a lot of ideas. So
I think the main thing, like, I've got like a good amount of unreleased songs. I just got one back from my master engineer that are a lot more kind of digestible for kind of like, not, I wouldn't say mainstream at all, but like a little bit closer to what most people are used to listening to, while still maintaining the Living Roots vibe. So I think the next couple of releases are going to be able to just be digested by a wider audience and but still keep that like unique Living Roots flair. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing out a couple of them for a while now.
So
the babies are ready to go.
Oh, well, I mean, with the listener coming into like, especially you guys trying to reach for like a wider, words are so hard right now, and wider audience. What do you kind of hope for listeners to get from your music? Like when we talked about it earlier, like just more grounding, relaxing, or booty shaking, like whatever you want, but if you were a new listener, how would you want yourself to feel from discovering this new sound?
So, yeah, it's a great question. I've got a couple songs, and I've got a lot of songs actually that, like, when I'm really needing an energy boost or just to feel better, like, I go to those songs and it's like better than most medicine, you know? Like, music to me and for me personally is like really, really healing. And so that's kind of what we want our music to do. We want someone to, you could randomly hear it and just have their whole day turn around and just the sun is shining, or someone that listened to it and as a fan be able to lean on that and use that kind of to like toolkit to feel better and just to be happy and be happy to be alive and be on this planet.
Yeah, I mean, I would expand on that too. It's just like we have a lot of songs that I feel like the word inspiration is overused, but just like empowering, you know, like we have a couple that are just like real, just like, we've got this, you know, like don't let go of what's possible type energy. And I could say we're in a time where we really need that and everybody needs that. And so important to just hold on to that vibe. So yeah, I mean, that in itself is just that kind of, we can be the powerhouse that we need to be is what I would add to that.
Absolutely. And I mean, for these upcoming releases, saying you're going to release some new music, hey, maybe even your high school tracks, right? Surprise track release. All right, we'll forget about that.
Well, no, I'll probably talk to my homies and see about doing like an auction type situation with like some NFT something. Like,
there we go.
You know, it's very eclectic. It's extremely age wide, but never really should have been made. Glad
it did. It's a little more vinegar, but Andre, hey, I was sorry. No, I don't know if we're in our 100th blue album era quite yet.
Baby steps, right? Baby steps. But I mean, with this new EP that you guys were talking about, when can we expect that to be released? Or is it going to be a full EP released or some singles and then an EP?
It's a good question. I've got like 4 of the songs fairly well put together. So realistically, I think the first, I'll probably do it song by song, they do 5 different releases and then have it all be one. So I'll probably start that in June, I'm hoping. We have to kind of, it really just depends on if the label picks it up or if we're just going to self-release it. But between now and then, we have 3 to 4 singles that are going to be coming out. So we're going to kind of be like getting people ready for it. We haven't released anything in a while, so we need to kind of get people to remember that we're still here. You know, open it going and then slowly start releasing it. We filmed music videos for each of the songs last summer while the property was still vibing. It wasn't rainy or anything. So we're going to have media and art along with each song as well. So we'll be able to highlight them a lot better. Like really, so much of the music industry these days is how you promote it, how you market it. And that hasn't been our strong suit in the past. And so this EP is definitely, we're like getting our cards on the table for like wanting to give it the best chance of hitting as many people as possible. So,
yeah, but that one we just got back from the master tag, that should be done. That should be out soonish, right?
Yeah, our next release will be within a month, mostly.
Ooh, okay, let's go. So making steps maybe in March, right?
Potentially.
Whoa, what just happened? What the heck? I've never seen that before, but hey.
Oh, yeah. But we're really excited about that one too. We've been working on that one for way too long, so we're ready to send it out.
Love that. I mean, I think Instagram's even excited too after seeing that little show that happened. But and I mean, you're doing releases for music. What about performances? Are you going to be doing live performances anytime soon?
Yeah, I just booked a couple of festivals in Cali. We have like, I'd say we have about one to two shows a month from here until July booked out. And over the next couple months, we're going to add probably a few more like last minute ads and stuff. I think the next DJs, I'm doing a DJ Ecstatic Dance in Portland for a Big Up BIPOC Lumity Dance. And then I think I have one Boogie Jean. And then one Bend. Those are three ecstatic dances. The next Living Roots show is in April. We want to see either April or May. We've been just allowed right now with farming and getting married. I'm like, maybe we have a show tomorrow. I don't know.
I mean, hey, if you have a show tomorrow, it's a good way of announcing it right now, right?
You're located in Southern Oregon.
You're right about the southern part, but I'm just in Southern California. So, you know, you're right and wrong. No big deal.
I think you did an interview with my homegirl, Sara, who I know from Southern Oregon.
Oh, damn. Yeah, she's hella cool. Yeah, her and I don't know if you know him, but Little Snooze, he's in Oregon too. I forgot where exactly, but I know he's out there too.
Sounds like an Oregon.
I gotta connect you guys, at least like know of each other, especially if you're there.
Definitely. We're working with a couple different people right now, like single collabs. Yeah, it's so much more fun to make music with other people. Like, I won't just go into my little zone, but when I have a couple other people on it, it just fun.
Definitely agree with that. But I mean, with all of these releases coming up, with all these performances coming up, any news that might just happen out of nowhere? Like, where's the best place for people to follow you at?
I'd say Instagram / Facebook. Primarily Instagram is the best. Spotify and Bandcamp. Like, Bandcamp for sure. All of our new releases are up on Bandcamp. Instagram is kind of where I post all my shows on Instagram. We also have a website that will show our tour dates as well. But Instagram is the easiest way to get.
Awesome. And I'll attach those links onto this episode so people are just like a click away, whether if they want to follow you on Spotify, check out your website. It'll all be there on this episode too. But other than that, that's it for the podcast. I just want to say thank you for being down, talking with me, sharing your story. I had so much fun, especially learning something new. And I hope you guys did too.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having us.
If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes. And don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, @CultureChords. Thanks for listening. Till next time.